Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Hey everybody, you're listening to episode 65 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast, the podcast that aims to provide you with the tools, tactics and techniques to create a winning edge mindset which will allow you to live the life you were meant to live. In this episode, I'm going to describe how you can use the power of regrets to unlock the gift within them and find ways to motivate and make changes in our lives. Before we get started, I just want to remind you that all the previous episodes of the podcast are available on all the major podcast platforms. So if you've not yet had the chance, why not put some time to one side and give them a listen? If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or like button so that you can catch all the future episodes. If your podcast platform allows it, please leave a review because that helps us to expand the audience and gets us seen. Also, tell your friends about it. Share the podcast on social media. Let's get the word out there. Let's share this information with as many people as we possibly can. The aim of the podcast is to make sure that people aren't sleepwalking through life. I want people to live the life they were meant to live and bring forth their gifts and talents into the world. Okay, let's get on with today's episode, which is all about harnessing the power of regret. Imagine waking up one morning and being able to read your own obituary. An opportunity to see what you will or will not have achieved, to see your legacy in print, to see the sum total of your life in front of you. How do you think you would feel? What would you regret the most? This is exactly what happened to Alfred Noble. On an April morning in 1888, Noble woke, opened the newspaper and learned that he died. There it was, in print. His obituary. If that sounds confusing, just imagine how Alfred must have felt. Of course, there had been a mix-up. It turned out Alfred's older brother, Ludwig Noble, was actually the one who had died. But the local press had mixed up the two siblings and published the wrong obituary. Because of his blunder, Alfred got the unique opportunity to see his legacy in print while he was still alive. And it wasn't pretty. The newspaper published a scathing obituary entitled The Merchant of Death is Dead. It condemned him for his inventions, criticised him as the wealthiest vagabond in Europe who had become rich by finding ways to mutilate and kill innocent people. It is important to remember that Noble's most famous invention was dynamite, a safer and easier means of harnessing the explosive power of nitroglycerine. It was painted in 1867 and was soon used worldwide for mining and infrastructure development. This invention had helped him become a very wealthy man. Although the mix-up with the obituary was ultimately corrected, life had provided him with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to read his obituary. He was shocked by what he read in the newspaper, and it left an indelible impression on his conscience. The damage caused him to re-evaluate his life's work, and he recognised that the eventual outcome of his life's labour would be universal condemnation. Fame and money were beginning to feel like a weight to Alfred. Over the next 2 years, Alfred and his assistant worked tirelessly on his will. He selflessly donated 94% of his assets to establish the Nobel Foundation. We all know now Alfred has been remembered for his five categories in which prizes are awarded: chemistry, literature, medicine, physics, and peace, the Nobel Prizes. Nobel used the unique insight of seeing his obituary and the power of regret to change the way the world would remember him. We all have regrets. What has been said? Things that were left unsaid? Actions that caused harm to others or yourself? The path not taken? We've all felt regret in one way or another. It's a natural element of being human. We believe our lives would have turned out differently, if not better, if we'd chosen a different path. We'd mastered the art of blaming current misery and discontent on previous events. I know this to be fact because I too am no stranger to regret. Like the rest of you out there, I too have regrets about things I have said, done, and wished I'd done, the path in life I had not taken. I can still remember vividly to this day having to change my college options because I hadn't got the results I needed in my high school exams to do the subjects I wanted to do. A friend tried to talk me into taking a new up-and-coming subject of computer science. Yes, that's how old I am. I resisted and opted for physics instead, a subject I rapidly discovered that was not for me. My friend, however, went on to establish a successful career in computing. I often wonder how things would have been different if I had taken his advice. I'm not alone. In the World Regrets Survey set up by Daniel Pink to collect regrets from around the world, I've chosen a couple of examples from the UK and Northern Ireland. On there, there's a male, age 42, who regrets not taking opportunities for experiences. He regrets not taking more risks in his life and really going for it. There's a lady on there, age 39, who regrets not pursuing her passion for acting as she felt that she needed a more stable role. She needed the income. However, she feels that if she felt safer, she would have followed her dream. In conducting his World Regrets Survey, in which he collected regrets from more than 16,000 people in 105 companies, Pink found that most people have regrets that fall into four core categories. These are, firstly, foundation regrets. If only I'd done the work. Next one, boldness regrets. If only I'd taken the chance. The next one, moral regrets. If only I'd done the right thing. And finally, connection regrets. If only I'd reached out. Pink argues that these four regrets operate as a photographic negative of a good life. We can understand what we value most when we understand what we regret. And when we engage with those regrets in new ways, we can transform them into a positive force for working smarter and living better. So, how do we use regret to our advantage? In his book, The Power of Regret, Daniel Pink sets out a three-step process to use regret to our advantage. The first step in this process is actually to reveal or disclose your regret. Although it might sound difficult to most people, and it'll be tricky to actually reveal the details of your regret, whether that is an action or an inaction. But Pink believes there's a lot of evidence to support that disclosing our thoughts, feelings are beneficial. The act of self-disclosure also forces us to organise our thoughts. It actually gets us to sit down, analyse what went on, organise the thoughts, and put them into some kind of order. Now, there's a number of ways that you can actually do self-disclosure. You could sit down with a close friend and talk about the regret or regrets. If that is uncomfortable, you could actually journal it. Sit down with a piece of paper, organise your thoughts about the regret on paper, written in front of you, so you can actually unburden yourself. The next one is actually go somewhere quiet, out the way, and just express those regrets. Talk out loud about them. But the main thing is to disclose, is to get them out into the open, reveal them, and lessen the burden. In fact, Pink believes that actually by getting those self-disclosing actually real unburdens us from those regrets. Step two, once we've actually disclosed the details of our regrets, step two is about self-compassion. It's neutralize and normalize. And contrary to popular belief, it isn't about criticism or beating yourself up about what happened. Pink points to the work of the University of Texas psychologist Kristen Neff. Kristen Neff believes in self-compassion. Neff found that when we mess up, we tend to treat ourselves off far worse than we would if we would treat others, whether that be a family member, a friend, etc., or even a stranger. If somebody came to you and had messed up, you would be probably far more compassionate with them than you would be with yourself. So the lesson from that is to be self-compassionate, to take a step outside of ourselves and treat our regrets and our mistakes as we would if it was somebody coming to us who was a friend, family member, even a stranger. How would you treat that person? And then once you know that, that was how you would treat ourselves. Is treat ourselves with the same compassion that we would a stranger or a family member coming to us with the same issues. It is important to remember at the self-compassion stage that you're probably, or we're probably not, the only people in the world to have those exact same regrets. So, step one, self-disclosure has relieved the burden of carrying the regret. Step two, self-compassion has reframed it as a mistake and a human imperfection that anybody can make. Now, step three is about analysing and strategizing and actually taking a step back and looking at your regrets from different perspectives. So it is stepping outside yourself, looking at your regret from different angles and taking yourself out of your own body, as it were, and analyse it from multiple viewpoints. And I would suggest here, literally, disassociating yourself. In other words, not looking through your own eyes and actually picture yourself in the movie or the still picture of your regret and analyse it from that viewpoint. So take a couple of steps back, see yourself in the picture and examine the situation. And then maybe take a few more steps back, even go 10 feet back, look at the situation, walk around the situation, maybe even be a fly on the wall or a bird in the sky and look down on the situation and analyse what is going on and look at your regrets from multiple angles. By doing this, we're taking the emotion out of it. We're stepping out of ourselves, out of the person and looking at it in a different perspective and gain a different viewpoint on our regrets. So just be imaginative. Look at it from many different angles. You know, if it happened in a room, step outside your body and sit in the corner, in the opposite corner of the room, even look in through the window from the ceiling. Be imaginative and look at it from different perspectives and analyze and strategize your regret. By following this process of stepping out of yourself, examining your regret from multiple different angles, what have you learned? What is there to take from this situation that you can learn from? As Pink himself says, regret doesn't just make us human, it also makes us better. And finally, I would add a step forward to the process, which is my favourite motto, there's no failure, only feedback. And step back and learn from your regrets. Where is the road not taking actually taking you? Has it given you friends that you wouldn't have had? Has it given you a life that maybe you wouldn't have had if you'd have followed that path? Has it presented you with a different perspective on life? If it is something you wish you hadn't said or wish you had have said, how will you react differently next time? What would you do in that situation if it presented itself again? Use it as an opportunity to learn, to release the power of regret. We must use it as an opportunity to better ourselves. So what are the learnings you can take from that regret? How could you become a better person from that regret? How could you make the best of yourselves or ourselves from the regrets we have? Look at your regrets as seeds to the solution of a problem. In other words, look at it as this is my way to adapt, to learn, to behave differently, take the different path next time. It is part of the human journey of improvement and learning and personal development. You could even go as far as having a regret journal where you go through the three steps that Daniel Pink sets out, the self-disclosure, the compassion, and then the strategize, analyze, and then add in the full step of what are the learnings to take from this event that if it happened in the future, you would behave differently, and build up a journal of knowledge of ways you can change and become a better person through unleashing the power of your regrets. If each regret presents you with one lesson that you then take forward and bear in mind as you go through your life, it will change your life for the better. That was the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please hit the subscribe button and if possible, leave a rating or a review. Also, please feel free to share the podcast with others and post about it on your favourite social media platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter @WinningEdgePod. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.